Say What? Say What Radio Show. With no agenda. It's always a surprise. But if we're not having fun, we're doing something wrong.
And this is the Say What Show. It is December 8th, 2018. My name is Nancy Hopkins. This is a production of Cosmic Reality. And with me is Dolly Howard. Hi, Dolly.
Hi, Nancy. Am I unmuted?
You're unmuted.
Oh, cool.
I'm not exactly sure why or how, because I'm looking at him going, I don't remember unmuting her.
Hey, when I did Dolly Shears this last time, I didn't even start the recording. The spirits did, or Dave did.
Oh, right. Yeah. Well, being on electronics like this does open us up to weird, you know, interference or assistance, as it may be.
Yeah, really.
So, gee, it's getting interesting out there, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
I got to tell you, though, Dolly, I have this problem with my dog.
Oh. Yeah.
It seems like in the last 5 days, every time, you know, I mean, let's face it, I talk a lot, and I'm on the radio a lot, and every time my voice comes over the radio, the dog gets up and comes over and starts nudging me, and if I don't pay attention to him, now he's pawing at me. And I'm like, what is the matter with you? You've been listening to me for years. What is the matter? And then I turn it off, he goes back and lays down. Every time. It doesn't matter if it's coming over the telephone or over the computer. It's like, the dog is over listening to me, Dolly. Is this a sign?
I don't know. Maybe you'll have to bring the kitties in and put the dog out where the kitties are and let the kitties listen.
Oh, I'll ask him. I'll say, hey, do you want me to bring the kitties in?
Uh-huh.
I'll threaten him. It's the strangest thing. I don't know why all of a sudden, after all these years, you know, I don't know, because, I mean, it's not something that's new. So now, every time I'm working to edit a program or something, I have to have my headphones on so the dog doesn't hear my voice. Oh my God.
He's over you disturbing his peace.
Apparently. Oh, lordy.
I was trying to post in the chat because Hopi's there. And you know, Dave answered her question, so I messed up. I apologize, Hope. I messed up the second part where I pasted, but I think you can get the message part, what he said.
Well, do you want to make it available for everybody?
Well, she said, can I post it there? So I figured she gave me permission.
No, I mean, yes, I understand that. I mean, can you read what Dave's answer to her question was?
Okay, yeah, I did look it up. Hold on. I gotta find the question first. Is that okay, Hopi, that I read your question? Let's give her a second while I'm trying to find her question.
Okay.
Let's see. Come on, finger. Why? My finger sometimes it does this double click all on its own. Other times I try to make it double click and it just sits there and says, I ain't doing it.
Well, doing the radio, you know, I get the cursor over what the next thing is I have to do. And because I space out, I'll put my hand on it. I don't do that anymore because my fingers, you know, would do that double click, and all of a sudden I've changed, you know. It's like, what? Well, you know, think about it. I have always been fascinated with the whole concept of our hands. I mean, our hands do all this stuff, and we don't even think about it.
They do.
And then when we think about it, they still do it. I mean, it's like... I remember when my sister Lori, you know, the bad sister. Lori was just a little baby, you know, and I was at that age, 16, where you pay attention to certain details much more than you would have, you know, younger. And one of those details was her hands. This little teeny hands and fingers, and they all worked.
Yeah.
And then one time I read that the complexity of the human hand and the way it works is, well, not probably now with quantum computers, but at the time, which was probably in the 80s, that the complexity of the human hand is greater than any computer power they had at the time. And I could absolutely understand that. I mean, I can still remember those teeny little hands and just being really making the connection of life in the 3D body. You know, Anelia Benz tells of, she's hysterical listening to her, because Anelia is a fifth dimension being that came here to basically ground fifth dimensional energy to help the planet make the ascension jump or whatever. Uh-huh. But what she was saying was so hysterical. She said that when she was born and she was in this body, she said she didn't know what to do with it. You know,
I can identify with that. Yeah,
and she was always tripping and falling down as a kid because she couldn't quite understand what was happening below her. Uh-huh. And you know, and she also could, I guess it would be like the third eye, see behind her. She had, you know, 360 degree vision.
Oh, wow.
Essentially, that when she got older and really tried to integrate her spirit even better, I mean, she lost that ability of being able to see the 360, and you know, now is locked into the visual parameters of an eye. Yeah. She's fast, and she's so funny when she talks about it, you know, because you could, but I have that sort of same thing. It's like, wow, we're in these bodies and they work. Well, sort of, as you get older. I was talking to Peter, my friend, uh-huh. and he says to me, well, yesterday I got myself into a situation. Now, he's probably, I think he's 67. Oh, maybe he's a little younger. But he had to clean a gutter for one of his customers. He does handyman and yard work, and he always incredible the things he does. He had to get on a roof.
Oh.
And he was, for the first time in his life, afraid of getting on the roof. He had already begun to understand the limitations of his own body.
Ah, yeah.
You know, so he had a certain amount of hesitation in it.
Mm-hmm.
But hero or idiot that he was, he still takes out the ladder and climbs on this roof. And he said, when he got up, he said, first of all, he said, when I went to go from the top rung, which wasn't quite over the, you know, edge of the roof, so he had to step off that, you know, and he said, uh-huh. that was the biggest step I'd taken in my life, in his mind, you know.
Right.
And he said, before I just leap up there and wouldn't have thought about it. And I began to explain to him, you know, being a little older, I'm a little more experienced, and I said, yeah, I said, as you get older, I said, it's weird because you have to start paying attention because what happens is that you say to your body, body, I'm falling, do something. And your body says, did you say something?
Yeah, really.
as you're hitting the ground, you know.
Down.
it's a very funny disconnect that, I mean, it could be that I just am spacier, but is everybody around me that's older spacier? Maybe. But no, it's as we get older, or maybe, you know, because we are in a totally different energetic framework here.
Right.
I mean, I do, well, you and I both talked about it. It's like sometimes it's like I keep dropping things.
Yes.
You know, and then just my butt. I am not a big person, you know, but for some reason, my butt can knock into things that I just don't understand how it does it. It's got,
that's not what I thought you were going to say.
Oh, I'm not sure I want to know what you thought I was going to say. Okay, tell me, what did you think I was going to say?
Your butt goes dead when you sit down for 5 minutes.
Oh, does yours?
Yeah.
Oh, no. God, if that happened to me, oh, no, because I sit all day long. No, that would not be working.
Yeah, but it gets uncomfortable.
Oh, I have pillows.
I don't have the pad. I have plenty of padding. I don't know what's the deal with it, but it kind of goes numb, but yet I can feel my bones are hurting it. So I don't quite know how to explain it.
Well, I sit on shungite rubber all day.
Oh.
I do. There's a piece right under me right now. And ever since I've started doing that, I don't get tired or achy or any of that stuff. I don't go to a chiropractor anymore. But does
I have mine in my bed.
Oh, well, see, that's
in
the problem.
In my back area.
Excuse me. You need another piece of shungite rubber for your butt.
For my butt.
Oh, my heavenly day. So.
Well, let me read Hope's.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you found it. Oh, that's what we were doing.
Yeah.
Okay.
You get so easily sidetracked. Of course, so do I. Her comment was, hi, Nancy and all. I loved being able to hear Dolly's new DS show on YouTube. Thanks for posting that very quickly. Much appreciated here in UK. Dolly and Dave asked that any questions for Dave could be posted here. So my question to Dave is, has the false light / recycling machine, in parentheses, forced reincarnation, been dismantled or put out of action, and are newly departed souls being steered away from the trap? And so I see this question, and I think, boy, I sure hope Dave knows what the hell she's talking about. I have no clue. And then I thought, here's the rest of her thing. I loved the messages you gave us, Dave, through Dolly on the new show. And yes, I will remember that I am important to the overall plan. Many thanks, love and hugs to all, Hope and kisses. So that was her question. Oh, see, my bed's moving by itself. Hold on. What the heck is going on? I didn't want to sit up anymore. I guess I have to sit up. They're pushing my bed up. Okay, hold on. I was going to read. Good grief. See, things like this are just happening to me all the time. I got more things to tell you, but later.
Okay.
So I put down there, I hope after praying for protection, blessings for all concerned, and for me to be open to hearing without interference. Here we go. Dave is saying, and in parentheses I put, I am hearing, that there are many beings who want to be here on Earth. Beings aren't forced to experience Earth. And so I'm sitting there thinking, okay, what's the rest? And I get nothing. That was the answer. I'll read it again. Dave is saying, and I am hearing, that there are many beings who want to be here on Earth. Beings aren't forced to experience Earth. And so I thought, well, that isn't a very good answer to that question, but what do I know? Because I don't understand the question.
Oh, I think it's the right answer. That's the answer I hoped you would have given. There's a story, Dolly, out
well,
there.
Well, wait, let me...
Oh, you haven't finished. Oh, okay, go ahead.
Jeez. It's my turn, damn it. I keep waiting to hear more on your question. This is what I'm saying to Hopi. But more isn't forthcoming. He said that is all there is to be said on that topic. He is reminding me that one of the things we are here to learn is faith. He says to look inside yourself, to feel, in quotation certain marks to feel. The response he gave, talk with your angels and guides, listen and open yourself to their words, and you will get a knowing feeling inside of her. So I said, thank you for your question, Hope, and that was that on that. Okay, now go ahead with your story. I hope you're okay with that, Hope, because that's what I got.
Hope, what she's talking about is this story or concept that for some reason we're in a prison planet and we keep being forced to reincarnate. And I've never bought into that. That never felt true to me. Because I guess because I can remember so many lifetimes, you know, past lifetimes. And whereas I don't remember specifically the time between lives, I know that my feeling about coming here is always one of excitement. Even though I know the dangers and the pitfalls and you feel pain and you feel hunger and thirst and all of this stuff, there's still an excitement for what I believe, you know, in my own experience, to have another shot at 3D, playing the 3D game. Because I do think of it as a game. I think of it, I mean, why do we have games? Are games just something to preoccupy ourselves with? Or do we learn something from games? In my opinion, we always learn something from games. If it's a card game, well, you sit there and you're playing cards. You're learning things about the cards, how many cards are in the deck, you know, if you want to go that way. But more importantly, you're observing the other card players. You know, everybody's looking for that telltale, you know, and whether we like it or not, or whether we think about it or not, I've seen people, like my family, they're nutty with card games. Not all of us, but, you know, the 3D ones.
My family, that's how I grew up. Every weekend was cards. The adults were at the big table playing cards and yelling and screaming and having a good time. Neighbors would think we hated each other.
Isn't that life?
Yeah. And the kids would be on the floor playing their games, board games or card games. That's how I grew up.
So to me, it's the game of life kind of concept. And I've never felt like it was anything other than, you know, an honor to play the 3D game. So when they started talking about being forced back into it, it's like, no, that's not the way I feel. I feel like you play the game until you master the game. Until you come on board and you go, oh, God, I've done this before, I've done that before, I've done this before. I know the game, I'm bored. You know? Or it's like Dave says. We asked him, remember? We said, what are you supposed to be doing other than what you're doing? You know, most people die and they leave. No, not Dave. He dies and he's very prevalent in our existence. Right. And he said, well, you're supposed to decide what you want to do. And I decided not to decide. And I do believe you have a decision. Come back. What do you want to do? What do you want to do next? Oh, I think I'll go play the 5D game. You know? Or I'm going to play the 3D game again.
Well, from my experiences of those NDEs I've had, yes, it is our choice. We have final say. Because I was not going to come back that first time. Oh, no, you're not making me go back there. I'm staying right here. And so this gentle being came and took me over and showed me my youngest crying and begging God not to take her mother. And they do use bribery over there.
They guilt you.
Yes. It's not your time to be here yet. You need to go back. And here's why.
Yes, because your children would have been much different had you passed then.
Oh, they would have, yeah. Everything would have been different in their lives. I see that now. I'm not saying it because I'm being egotistical. I'm saying it because of where I was, and now I understand. They had to have me yet.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So Hope, I hope that that was Hope. I'm hoping that that answers your question. You know, you made a decision to come here, in our opinion, and in Dave's opinion, apparently.
Right. Apparently, yeah.
He's very close lately.
He is.
Yeah, he's hot. It's like
all day.
Yeah, you remember when he was? You know, he wasn't there for months.
Yeah.
And now it's like whenever I think of him, he's right here.
I got him right here now. I got goosebumps. He's here, and no way, Dave. And he's talking with me and communicating with me. But he said, "Tell me at the same time he's with you too."
Yes, he is.
And he says, remember, I can do that.
Yeah, because he's free of constraints of the 3D physical body.
Right.
You know, so they can basically be in two places at one time. Uh-huh. It's who
more
we are.
More than two, even, he says.
Oh, yes, much more.
Yes.
Yeah, but that's who we are. You know, and the fact is that one of the things that, I noticed when I was playing the older shows this last couple of weeks from, you know, 2014,
uh-huh,
how different my voice sounded and how different my presentation was. And I was much more energetic, much more in your face. It seems like I was yelling a lot, you know. And what I think the difference is, Aquarius and I had a conversation in chat one day about it. What I think it is that when those earlier shows, I had been introduced. I had this kind of messianic need to tell people that there's a different reality than you think it is. Let me tell you what it is, and then tell you how we can make a new one. You know, and it was this. Very much, you know, making people wake up because there wasn't enough people awake to make a change. And so that's part of it. But the other part of it is when Shungite came into it, it was a hope. It was a hope that this is what I thought it was.
Yeah.
But now it's a certainty. Shungite has taught me that it is real. Everything we've asked it to do, it does. But with you, and thankfully didn't leave us, but with you and the things I've learned from Dave in the last, what is it, three or is it 4 years? I've even forgotten.
I forgot.
But he has taught me so much. And one of the things that he has given me is certainty. Because there's no way that anybody can tell me that Dave Corso is not standing right to my right side right now. And that I know he's there with you.
Yeah.
You know,
absolutely.
And having that certainty, having somebody that shows up, that does magical things, that will connect you and I on Skype where neither one of us called.
Yeah.
You know, to do an amazing, like, 3-hour conversation with him. When you go through those, to watch you, the first time I saw you, you for some reason, you and I were, had the video open on Skype, and you're talking to me, and all of a sudden you look startled and said, "Oh, hi, Dave." To see you react like that was an indicator to me that, oh, this woman's real. She sees him because of how surprised you were. You stopped in mid-sentence. You know, because he showed up. And that certainty that and the things that he tells us that come true. You know, the guidance that he has given us that sometimes is actually creepy. Because you remember the thing with Jamie Bates.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, yeah.
Dave gives Dolly a message in the middle of reading the Ascension
mysteries
by David Wilcock. And he was talking in terms of pay attention to what's around you, right? And then the next show comes on, and Jamie's talking about seeing things in a different perspective so that you know what's really happening. And because she was able to do that, she saved a plane load of people, including herself and her daughters.
Yeah.
And it was like, he gives us the message, and then Jamie shows us why.
Yeah.
You know, it was like, I was so stunned by that. Because the whole thing was mystical beyond belief. You know, the way those two shows merged. It was,
yes.
Wow. In the same time frame. First the first
As
one and the second one.
As if it was planned.
As if it was planned. And that's Dave. You know, it's always, you always feel like it's semi-planned. What are we doing here? I don't know. Where's Dave?
Yeah.
So I honor and thank him for, you know, I think the two of us know that he's real. And, you know, he's just amazing. And that we are, too. And everybody else listening to us is. This is who we are. And Dave has decided not to decide so that he could continue working with us.
Yeah. And he's glad he made that undecision. That's what he's saying.
Well, I appreciate it, Dave. I certainly do. Because, oh, Dave, did you hear that Wolf Spirit is closing down?
Oh, yeah, Annika. Where's Annika? He's not here. Annika was asking me to ask Dave what he thought, and Dave says, well, it's about time. That's his answer. It's about time.
Well, how do you feel about
it? I got more. Hold on. He's saying it started going in a bad direction. Not bad. He says, don't say bad. It started going in a different direction than what he had in mind. And then when Colleen, you and I broke off, he said that was a blessed day for him because we continued in the vein of the way he really wanted things to go because of the way things were happening at that time. It was time for a change, and we took the different path than what Wolf Spirit took, and he was very glad that happened. But he says for Wolf Spirit to be shutting down, it's time. Everything has a time. And it had its time, and now it's time to move on.
You know, it was interesting. I was wrapping some pendants, and one of them is the one I was wrapping at the time is the cosmic silver saturated stuff that's been tumbled. So it's not a raw looking rock. It's like a polished rock. Okay.
Hmm.
And I start to wrap it, and it's a really weird piece. I mean, when I picked it up, I said, why did I think this would make a good pendant? Because, what are you doing? I'm going to mute you. You're doing something.
Oh, my nose.
Oh, okay, I'm muting you.
If you must know, it was dripping.
Oh, okay, well, all right. Are you okay?
Am I forgiven?
Yes.
Okay.
I'll keep you unmuted then, as long as you're done with it.
I'm done.
Okay.
I'm done.
So, I'm wondering why did I pick this, because it had these two sharp protrusions at the top. And then it was like, had this big gully in it. And it just was the most unpendant looking thing that I'd ever seen. As a matter of fact, not sure I saw it until it was in my hand, because I did pick them all out. But this one was like, wow, what is this? And so I said, I'm getting the, yes, I want to be a pendant. Okay, all right, so let's go for it. And as I started to do the wrap, I turned it just slightly, and my God, those two protrusions are the ears of a wolf that you can see in this pendant.
Yeah.
it's like all of a sudden I could see the wolf's face and the ears. It's like a picture of a wolf's head.
Well, then you know why that was had. You had to do that one.
Oh, yeah, it's around my neck right now. I wasn't going to give it away. A wolf gift.
Yes.
But it was, did you have any emotional reaction when you heard that Wolf Spirit was closing down? Because it was so important for so many of us. I mean, we all got our start with it.
Yeah, no, I had no reaction whatsoever.
Nor did I.
And why do you think we didn't have a reaction? I mean, it was like, oh, okay.
I think because
thanks for sharing.
I think because we knew that we had taken Wolf Spirit with us. It might be under a different name.
Yes.
You know, but well, that's why we left.
We took the spirit of the main wolf with us in our hearts and our souls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Because that's why we left, was that we didn't feel comfortable with the direction it was going.
Not at all.
Well, you were the one that was being bitchy about it.
Yes, I was.
I'm going to quit.
That's it. I've had it, you guys. You can stay if you want, but by God, I'm out of here.
And then the whole thing felt very orchestrated. So we've talked about this, ladies and gentlemen, but we have a lot of new people that listen to us. And what we're talking about is Wolf Spirit and Dave Corso. Dave Corso was JP. Well, it wasn't with JP. Dave Corso was one of the first people out there with an internet radio station. And at that time, they were here and there, and they were having technical problems, or maybe they were being targeted. But they were having an awful lot of problems technically. And he, I think, felt that, he's trying to guide me through this, he felt that there was some kind of interference with the stations. And so he believed there's power in numbers. And he got people, including JP, to take their individual radio stations and merge it under Wolf Spirit's banner. So that they could afford to get the top-of-the-line electronics to be able to do this. And to essentially stabilize the radio stations. And that became Wolf Spirit. And then Dolly found it as a listener, and I found it because somebody asked me to go on a radio program that happened to be produced by Wolf Spirit. And, I mean, I was a host for many shows over a number of years, and David made Dolly a host, and when Dave died, Colleen got so that she could produce. And
well, David pulled her in before he crossed over there. He had pulled her in and started her. And
oh,
then she
I didn't
continued.
Realize that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So he was preparing for us.
He was preparing us.
So Dolly got she was the one that was voicing discontent. Colleen had a lot of discontent, but she wasn't saying anything to anybody. And I just was I was concerned that Colleen was going to quit. And I wasn't sure where JP was in the whole thing. And I decided that in order to cover my ass, I had to be a producer and have my own station. So I got Walt Silva to get with me and work together to try to build a station. And so we were in the process of doing that, had just got it done, when all of a sudden, well, we had the station, but JP was in no way reaching out and saying, can you do this? Can you do that? It was like, oh, good. I'm glad you're here. And then we don't hear anything more from him. At the same time that Dolly says, I'm quitting. You guys can stay or not. Blah, blah. And Colleen's like, I'm not very happy here either. And so we talked, we were on Skype, and we were talking about it, and, you know, well, should we go, should we not go, what can we do, blah, 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 blah. And all of a sudden, JP starts yelling, disconnected us from the radio station. It was the first, it was the first day that I was doing live programming. So I was doing the producing, but it was going over Wolf Spirit's radio station. And I didn't know that he had pulled the plug on Jan Moore's first show.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah. And it was after, while that show was, whoops, hold one. I just, my finger did its thing. So
wild fingers.
Yeah, so Colleen realized what had happened while the show was, like, in its second hour.
Oh, wow.
And she starts to, Jay, try to find out what went wrong. Because she was, I was producing, but she was watching, I think, you know, what was happening there. Uh-huh. And because she could see the live stream. I don't remember how it did, because, you know, it's beyond me. It's too long ago. But,
well, I know I was reading my resignation letter when JP started in. What's going on, Dolly? What's happening? And I ignored him and finished reading the statement.
It was so strange because it was like all of a sudden Jay is basically attacking Colleen.
Yeah.
And, you know, and Colleen starts to copy everything that they're saying to each other because they were talking, you know, messaging over Skype. And so Colleen and, I mean, Dolly and I are like, wow, what the heck is happening here now?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, before the conversation was over, Colleen had quit. Okay, if you feel that way, boom, done. You know?
So two of us quit.
So we went with her, you know, like, I felt an allegiance more to Colleen at that point than I did Will Spirit. Because she was the one that was producing my Cosmic Reality shows. And so that's how we ended up in Cosmic Reality Radio. And Haggishack had already been working.
Mm-hmm.
But even then, it felt like it was totally orchestrated. And I could see, he's snickering. Do you see him snickering? I mean, now I'm getting, oh my gosh, I'm getting this picture.
He's being naughty.
Of JP, you know, just doing his thing, and all of a sudden, Dave starts whispering in his ear, those girls are doing something bad. What are they doing? They're about to screw you, dude.
Yeah. See, I knew somebody had gone to JP and tattled.
Who knew it was Dave?
I didn't. I thought maybe it was one of the other ones who was one of his close-knit ones.
Well, I wasn't talking with anybody, so to me it was like, I don't know what's happening.
I didn't know how he knew, because all of a sudden there he is, and he's asking me what's going on. And I thought, well, I'm not going to stop in the middle of my resignation letter and explain it. He can listen. But then when it was over and we're sitting there in shock and the three of us have definitely said we're not coming back to Wolf Spirit. Excuse me. I'm just sitting there and I'm wondering, what just happened? And Dave was there with me. He just sitting there with me. But I was in such a state of shock, I couldn't understand. Was Dave saying anything to me, or was he just sitting there?
Because he could have been shouting at you, and you wouldn't have been listening because your 3D mind was full of what just happened, playing it back.
Yeah.
He says he tried to tell you.
Well, I can believe he did, but really, I was in a state of shock. I knew I couldn't handle the way the path that Wolf Spirit had chosen to take. I couldn't handle that path. I had to take the different path. MS? Chris is saying, was on-air criticism disallowed of a former fellow host by the initials of M? Oh, yes, yes, absolutely, Chris. Yes. That's what I was upset about, Chris. Absolutely. Oops. And Mona's saying, I guess I'm not being as secretive as I thought I was. And Mona's saying, no clue, but I never trusted Max Steele.
Whoops.
I'm trying not to say that name.
Dolly doesn't like to say the name.
I don't want to bring that badness back into my life. I just couldn't handle it. You all know, well, y'all who were back there when I was interviewing him, I interviewed him, what, two or three times? I really tried and tried and tried to figure out what makes this dude tick. And I wanted so much. I wanted to believe in him and trust that he was who he was and he meant what he was saying. And he was just a loony bin to me. I couldn't get it. I just couldn't deal with it. So I had to go away. I had to step away.
And you dragged me and Colleen along with you.
Well, I had to drag somebody.
I've never once double thought myself on that. That was because, in effect, I had a total understanding of what we were about to do. Because at that point, the only way that the Shungite store guy's gift on the internet or Shungite was being made known to people was through the radio.
Uh-huh.
And we had quite a number of followers at that time. And I knew that we would probably not be able to take them with us.
Yeah, but, I figured that.
Yeah, but my feeling was that I work with energies. And I was much more linked to you and Colleen than I was to JP and Will Spirit.
Uh-huh.
On an emotional, I mean, on an energy level, and emotional too, I suppose. And that's what happened. I mean, we lost virtually all, not all, but a few dozen have come with us. But, you know, most of them, they didn't make the shift. But that was okay.
And that's okay.
Yeah, that was okay. Because yeah. Now, well, we've been told, not just by Derek, but Dave, too, that the shows we do on Cosmic Reality are popular shows in the galactic and etheric realms.
Yes.
You know, because we have basically gone, at least I have, with the concept that we tell people the truth, which can be hard to hear, but we tell it to them with the ability to give them a solution.
Yeah.
This wasn't bigger than we were. And what I don't feel comfortable in is anyone who's out there saying, oh, it's awful, and that's all they say. It's awful, but what are you telling me to do about it? Don't just tell me it's awful. I know it's awful. Give me some guidance as to what we can do, and if we can't do anything, then don't bother telling me. I'd rather not know. And that was the reaction of a lot of people, you know. And I realized that we're scaring these. I learned that in the beginning when I was an author, and that's it. They didn't have the internet. You know, I tell somebody, do you realize that Lee Harvey Oswald did not kill Kennedy? You know, and you're disrupting their entire version of reality. There's a black cabal that did this, you know. Well, without any ability to explain to them what we could do, because I had no clue. All I was doing was promoting fear. And that's why, yeah, even though I continued to write the books, I never attempted publishing. I initially, when I did the John Kennedy Jesus Christ Connection, I presented it to a number of publishers. And Berkeley Press, one of their editors, said to me, yes, I definitely want this book. And then he came back to me and he said, I can't do your book because I have been told by higher ups that you will never be published in the United States. So at least I had an honest person that said, don't waste your time here.
Yeah.
You know?
And but you also found out you're a marked woman.
Apparently. I already knew that. So it was like, okay, all right, you know, well, I just kept learning, kept writing. I was taking notes more than anything else. And then, of course, 9/11, well, we changed realities, timelines, and, you know, 9/11 happened and all that. And then when, by the time I got to write the book, 9/11, 9/11 Crusade, it's a fictional book based on the facts of 9/11. Because the problem in that time frame was the same problem. You tell people, your government just lied to you. It wasn't terrorists that took down the buildings. It was an inside job. You know, that just, nobody out there wanted to listen to that, I'll tell you.
No, they didn't.
I mean, I'd start telling people, you know, the facts, they're indisputable. And they would just get glassy-eyed and walk away. So I wrote the fiction saying, okay, if you won't listen to me because you're afraid of the facts, maybe you'll listen to a book that tells you the story in a fictional environment. And I had learned that from Dan Brown, because the John Kennedy Jesus Christ Connection in there discusses the marriage of Mary Magdalene and Jesus, and the whole bloodline thing, and everything, you know, that was the factual basis for the Da Vinci Code that Dan wrote. But he wrote it as a fiction. Now, I was not the only one that understood this true history. There were a number of us out there trying to get people to pay attention to this, and we all were encountering the same thing. No.
No, they can't. They couldn't take it. They weren't at the right spot.
Well, but Dan comes along with a fiction. Mm-hmm. And so what they could do is they could say, oh, I don't agree with this, but it's a fictional novel, so, and it's a good story, so I'll read it. And what they walked away with was the story. They didn't think of it as fiction. They thought of it as truth. Whether they would argue it that way, hell no. But in the back of their mind, it became truth. Why? Because it was true. And so I said, I'm going to write a fiction. I'm going to tell them the real truth behind 9/11. And then when they can't handle it, they can say, oh, it's fiction. It's a good story.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and
you're leading them into it gently.
Yeah. Yeah. And the thing of it is that by the time I wrote that book, there was self-publishing. I didn't need a publisher.
Right.
So that's how it got out there. I self-published it, and, you know, that's what happened. And if anybody wants to read that book, you can get it from Amazon. You can also get it as an audio, you have to pay for it, but it's an audio reading by Colleen Kelly on cosmicreality.net. And you can also get a PDF of the book, free. You know, I want you to hear the story. I want you to know what went wrong. You know, the truth behind it, not the fallacy. I mean, I plainly say that this is fact-based fiction. The government gave you a story that was fiction that wasn't based on any fact whatsoever, except the towers fell. You know? And they were hit by planes. Anybody tells you that it was a holographic thing and blah, 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 that's distraction and bullshit.
Yes. I never swallowed that crap.
Well, you know, you wonder about some of the stories that they tell, because who's putting those out? I think it's dark side distraction. Oh, it didn't happen that way. You know, Hopkins and Dr. Wood are not telling you the truth. It happened this way. No.
A hologram. Everybody in the world saw this hologram.
And the pentagram, that's the pentagram. Well, the pentagram, the Pentagon was hit by a missile. No, It was not hit by a missile. This plane was on radar tracking the entire flight. That was one of the things that everybody who studies it goes, how the hell was that allowed to happen? Because it takes out of Dulles, which is right to the west, southwest of Washington, D.C., flies west, turns around, flies all the way to New Jersey, turns around again, flies virtually over the White House and Capitol to make an unbelievable and impossible 90-degree turn at over 500 miles an hour, all right, to hit the Pentagon. It was on radar track the entire time. Well, you were tracking a missile. Why would a missile fly that way? The missiles don't fly around like that, one. And two, there in front of the Pentagon was a major highway system that was caught in traffic, just happened to be caught in traffic, to the point that people were standing outside of their car when the plane went over. One guy says he ducked because it was so low he thought it was going to hit him.
Yeah.
And then in the path to the Pentagon over the highway, there were a whole series of light poles. And the plane, as it was going, targeting the wall, this is the other thing. It was the one wall in the Pentagon that had spent 3 years being retrofitted so that it could withstand a missile attack. So this was the strongest part of the building. And just coincidentally, you're flying towards that? You know, because they wanted that part of the building demolished. Because why? Because the Army accounting offices were in there. And they didn't want the people inside the building, like Rumsfeld, who was on the other side of the building, to be hurt. So you fly it into this particular wall. But to get to that wall, you have to fly through a series of light poles. And they can actually see by the pictures of the light poles on the ground that as the wings were hitting these light poles on either side of the plane, by the way, they were hitting them. You could see the damage on the poles. And when they did computer video of what happened, you can see the poles are getting hit lower and lower to the ground because the plane is coming in lower and lower to the ground. So there is absolutely tracking data regarding a plane, not a missile. Not sure how we got into that thing. Why did we talk about that? Oh, because I was talking about the book itself. You know, that these are these things that cannot be disputed are presented in the book. And, you know, it's... There's so many truths out there, but that 9/11 was very important because that's what got me into the radio.
Yeah.
My first radio show was with Dr. Robin Falco, who had me on her show regarding the 9/11 book. And somebody, Luz Aberdini, she heard my my show with Robin and asked me to come on her show. I thought she meant so she could interview me about the book. No, she wanted another co-host.
I remember that.
So all of a sudden, I'm a co-host on an internet radio station, you know?
Mm-hmm. So, I got to share with you, when you're in the most of your wound-upness just now, I couldn't help myself. My fingers typed in the chat room, Nancy sure gets wound up, doesn't she? And then I put
Well, you know, that was one of the things that when I first started out, you know, people would say to me, oh, they would refer to me going off on these tangent things as Nancy doing her thing.
I just say you really get wound up.
Well, I do, because I know. Because I've told these stories so many times. I've told them so many times, my dog won't listen to them anymore. Would you stop, lady? I heard that 3 years ago for crying out loud and 10 times since.
Your poor dog. I can't say poor dog. He's a very fortunate dog to be living with you.
Well, last night I was saying to him, you know, because, okay, Newbie died a year ago Thanksgiving. Wow. And it's me and the dog. And I'm going like, oh, at least I don't have to worry anymore. You know, because I had 11 cats at one time. It wasn't my doing. They just ended up in this yard. And I never really worried about them. You know, I was younger. Nothing ever happens to you when you're younger. But over the years, I mean, I've lost dozens of animals who have passed over. And you have these, you know, where's Pearl? She hasn't been home for 4 days. And then she shows up and you don't know whether to yell at her because you're so angry that she was gone or just like, oh, thank you for coming. You know, so I'd be on these roller coasters of emotion. And it was like, oh, thankfully I don't have to do that again. And then, you know, just under a year later, what happens? I've got five cats, you know, and the guy that lives out, you know, the father of them, the brother of mom, he's out front and, you know, the other day I'm like, oh, he's absolutely beautiful, but he's definitely not wanting to come in the house. And because the others are captured in the house, but he knows that he's okay with it. But I'm like, oh, I just am falling in love with him. He's just one of the more amazing physically and I'm walking away from him. I put his food down and stuff, and I turned around and I said, don't die.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, it's like, why am I in this again? You know, I'm needing to know that I have no control over this stuff. You know, and I apparently have a very intense mother instinct. It probably comes from being the oldest of 10 kids.
Yeah.
You know, because mom would look at me and say, where's Mary? Well, who the hell, Mary? What was I supposed to be watching her? Oh, shit.
Yes.
You know? Oh. But anyway, so we're at the top of the hour, and yes, I do go off and do my own thing, but I got to tell you, when I'm doing it, I'm not here in the 3D, so to speak. It's like something, some information that just is, because I don't actually a lot of times remember what I just said. And that's why a lot of times I go back and listen to shows that I've done, because I have no clue as to what I said. Mm-hmm. And I'll be listening to it and I'll go, oh, that was really good. Oh, I didn't know that. I'm talking to myself. I'm you know, I'm on the radio, them telling things, I'm going like, I didn't know that.
Oh. Well, I want to tell you, when we were talking about Wolf Spirit and Enray just said, I came with you, and she has a smiley face there. I said, you sure did, Enray, and I appreciate it more than you know. Several of them. Well, Chris used to be with us, Chris Steiner over at Wolf Spirit, and we just keep in contact. I like how we Wolf Spirit peoples, the pack, have kept contact with each other. And the ones who have seemed to move on from 3D.
And we've got so many others.
Oh my gosh, yes!
You know,
holy cow, we got a whole new group, a whole new listening. I don't even know what to pack, I guess, for lack of a better word, who seem to be our followers now, and they're from all over the world. Well, plus outside the world too, according to Derek.
Well, Dave confirms that. So, listen, we're at the top of the hour, and I'm going to play Carly Simon's Life is Eternal, and it's 5 minutes long, so take your time.
Okay.
I've been doing a lot of thinking about growing older and moving on. No one wants to be told that they're getting on. Maybe going away for a long, long time. is eternal and love is immortal and death is only a horizon. Life is eternal as we move into the light, and the horizon is nothing save the limit of our sight, save the limit. Trying to find my way back home. Maybe that's why each new star is born, expanding heaven's room. Eternity in bloom. And will I see you up in that heaven? In all its light, will I know you there? Will we stay? Wishing makes it so. Won't you let me know that life is eternal, and love is immortal, and death is only a horizon. Life is eternal as we move into the light, and a horizon is nothing save the limit of our sight, save the limit of our sight. Oh, life is eternal and love is immortal and death is only a horizon.
Welcome back to the Say What Show. It's December 8th, 2018. Yesterday was Pearl Harbor Day. Interesting. Cosmic Reality Production. My name's Nancy Hopkins, and with me is Dolly Howard, I think. Dolly, you here? Uh-oh. Dolly. She's not back. Or she's done something. Have I done something? Dolly, are you there? Oh, no. Okay, I don't know where Dolly is. and I'm looking at my dials, and everything should be right. All right. Jeez, she probably got out of bed. I hope she's all right. Here, Dolly's typing. Dolly, I'm here. I'm here. Okay, so why don't I hear you? What happened? She doesn't know why we don't hear her. Check your buttons. Yeah, well, my buttons all say you're here. You're unmuted. You're on B1. There you are. There you are.
Hello?
Hello. What happened?
Hello.
Are you there?
Hello.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
What happened?
Well, I don't know. I just unplugged my little thingy, and I plugged it back in for my headset, and then you started hearing me.
I don't know what that is with your headset.
I don't know, but you seemed to like my headset and didn't want me to get new.
Well, no, because you sound so good on it.
Well, hey, I wrote a note for the folks in the chat to remind me there's a couple things I wanted to say.
Well, go for it.
Well, all righty, it's my turn, folks. Where'd I put the note so I remember? Oh, yeah, this was really funny. The other night, I was doing laundry, and I had been doing it all day because I was doing sheets and my clothes and the big type laundry stuff. So it was late at night, and I walked out to the garage through the living room and dining room, and I went to open the garage door, and all of a sudden, I hear, "Wah!" And so I said, "Annette, it's just me." And I'm hearing Annette from her bedroom saying, "What, Mom? I can't hear you." I said, "Didn't you just holler? Weren't you just shocked?" Because I went into her bedroom and talked to her rather than talk to her three rooms away. And so she said, "I didn't holler. You didn't scare me." I said, "Didn't you hear it? It was like right outside your bedroom door." She said, "I didn't hear anything." Well, I heard it, and so did the girls. So I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, I scared one of the spirits. I didn't think I was able to scare one of the spirits so bad that they'd shout loud enough that I could hear them.
And the girls, the cats.
Yeah, the cats, they heard it too. I mean, they both looked startled over the other way because they were following me. And I had to apologize to the spirit, whoever it was. I'm really sorry I wasn't sneaking around.
You have the strangest things to have. I was afraid you were going to say it was a snake.
No.
Well, when you kept laughing, I said, "Oh, this is no snake. She would never laugh over a snake story."
No, it just cracked me up. I thought, I never dreamed you could scare or startle spirits. And then, oh, stop. Sagey, Amber, love each other. Yes, oh, precious babies. They were starting a little bad fight. Hey, don't you hit at me, you little shit. Sagey hit her paw at me. Huh. So anyway, I had to share that story with you. And there's another, where'd I put my notes? And I, yell, please remember. The girl seeing, oh yeah. Well, you know how we have talked about how things are really strange lately. I mean, really happening lately, more so than ever before. I know that the spirits are with me, and they come and they kind of put me to bed at night like Stan used to. And the girls would always acknowledge them, my cats. And lately, like the past three nights, I would say, the girls just, they sit right up in bed. You know how cats can sit up at alert? Well, they've been doing that at nighttime especially, but even in the daytime. And then I see their eyes are real big when they've done that startle and they're sitting straight up in bed and alert. And so I turn over and I expect to see a net, because they'll do that if they can catch a net sneaking up on me, because she likes to scare me. So I turn around, there's nobody there. And then sometimes in this past three nights, days and nights, but mostly nights, I turn around and there is somebody there, but they're not there. I mean, it's not, there's somebody, it's a spirit that is visible to me, yet I can see right through them. And this is happening more and more often. Plus, Annette was asking, yes, today, it was earlier today, Annette was sitting in the chair, and, oh, it was yesterday when I was doing laundry because I was bringing in a load, and I started to walk past her, and she was going to ask me a question, and she didn't even get the question out, but I gave her the answer because I already knew the question. But I don't know how I already knew the question. It's more things like that have been happening between Annette and me, and I've gotten it from other people. I seem to be more open to people's thoughts than ever before. And I know I prayed for me to be able to hear Dave even more clearly than I used to, but yet I really, since he came back, I really can hear him a lot clearer than I did before. So, but I still ask for it. You know, I always ask for God's blessing on reading things. And then I was doing something. Well, it wasn't just that. I was doing something in the kitchen one time. I was sitting in bed one time, and I was fussing over the friggin' computer issues that seemed to plague me lately. And I hear my name called out. I hear Dolly. And so I turn around to look, because it's right there. It's right beside me. And I turn around to look, but there's nobody there. But yet I know there's somebody there, because I can feel it. And I say, well, if you're going to call my name to get my attention, then for crying out loud, say the rest of your sentences. Don't just fart around with me. Talk to me. But I'm beginning to hear more things like that. Or I'll get a thought, well, you, the pool water needs to be turned off because I forgot to set the timer. Because every once in a while you have to fill the pool up with your hose. Not all the way, just a little bit, just top it off. So I'm starting to hear spirits more often talking to me. And I'm wondering, why? What is going on that this is happening? And is it happening to others? Is it happening to you, Nancy?
Oh, I'm sorry. I fell asleep. I knew what you were going to say.
Oh, you shit.
Oh, absolutely. As a matter of fact, I was a trained telepath. And so for years, that's all I did was read people. And at that time, I developed the ability to not respond to what they were thinking, but to wait for them to tediously say it in words. But most of the time, they lied. I knew one thing, they'd say something else. So when it was important and I was in the military and I needed to know information, I needed to know the real information, not the bullshit information. And it's not that they intentionally lie. It's their interpretation of what they're thinking is even wrong when they try to tell it. But I really worked not to do that, to just stop hearing people, because it was... I didn't like going through life knowing that most people were not even knowing what they were thinking. And so for years I've been, you know, I mean, well, we know about No Name's story. I certainly didn't get any indication of a problem. But recently, I'd say it started about 6 months ago. Actually, by the beginning of this year, the energies were so different that, yes, I was telepathically picking up a lot more information. My intuitive ability had increased. But now it's to the point that I'm really being rude to my friends because they start to say something, and halfway through it, I can't wait. You know, because I also have this feeling of time constraint. We're running out of time.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
You know, so they're halfway through it, and I just start off, you know, explaining the answer that they're trying to get, you know. And so I'm cutting them off all the time, and they keep thinking that I'm interrupting them. I'm not interrupting you. I already know what you're going to say. But they need to say it.
Uh-huh.
You know? So it's retraining myself not to overly respond, to sit there and wait for them to tell me whatever it is that they want to tell me, and then I can respond to it. So essentially, I don't let them come over anymore or talk to me because I'm so damn bored. And I'm making enemies of my own friends because I won't let them talk. So yes, Dolly, I'm having this. I don't have it like you do, to the point of, you know, well, I guess I hear spirit. Okay, all right. I hear you. I hear God. They're so pushy sometimes, David.
Yes.
Okay. So
what's he saying?
All right. This is a good one. This is a good one. I have to. I have to open up my computer here for a second.
Okay.
So all right. I get an email from Walt, from a customer who is sort of distraught because they want to have all the knowledge downloaded in one instance about Shungite. And they get so frustrated that then they get angry with us. So we get these emails of people that are angry. And they wanted to know what's the difference between all of the different pendants and should I get a nugget or, you know, so.
Oh my gosh. Yeah,
I mean,
yes.
Really going off on, and poor Walt
in
was the first
detail,
one.
Yeah.
Yeah, Walt was the one that got the email. They sent it to him, right? He sends it to me. So I said, okay, I've got an idea to myself. I'm talking to myself, you know, I said, because I'm writing the book. I said, let's just write the section on the pendant differences right now and then just give this guy an excerpt from, you know, the book called Shungite Reality that I'm writing. So I start to do this. And I know very well what the wire-wrapped pendant does. I know very well what the S4 Shungite pendant does. But the pendant that we call structured Shungite pendant is one where Walt puts it in a tumbler and it tumbles for 3 days, okay? But not with grit, like, so you don't get one of those, you know, where it's all nice and flat and stuff. This is just screws and metal pieces in there that are pounding the Shungite. Now, when he first introduced me to this, and I was playing with, see, I can see at the molecular level, etherically. It's like my third eye can focus in on atoms and molecules and the quantum field and all this stuff, and this is why I know this stuff. And then I tell Walt what I'm thinking, and Walt gives me scientific 3D reasons for why I'm right in what I'm seeing. So when I'm looking at this stuff, the biggest molecule in a piece of Shungite, is the C60s. And so I can see the C60 molecules, And in when it goes through the tumbling process, it's like the blows to it and the noise. I think the noise is part of it because, again, it's a frequency. It causes these molecules, which are round balls rotating at 20 billion times a second, to slightly adjust until they're all geometrically lined up. Now, I've seen them line up in a line, and I've also seen one where it went into a square. The molecules oriented themselves into a square, which was very interesting. But there's something that happens when you pound or, you know, just keep beating these shungite nuggets. So to me, what the energy felt like was more of a laser beam than an incandescent, meaning the light that you got in your lamp. That's an incandescent light. It goes all over. A laser is still light, but it's focused, and that's what this thing felt like. It was like focused energy. But no matter how many times I've tried, I don't have a real affinity for the energy, and I don't know how to explain to somebody what I'm feeling. So it's a long story, I know. So, but hey, we're used to it, right?
That's right. We want detail.
So, I'm sitting here while Jan Moore
getting so bored with her. I'm going to kick
her
out of my life.
You won't believe what happens next. So, okay. Jan Moore's guest is on, right? Julie, let me just see if the name is still up here. Probably not. Let me see. Jackie Coultas. Coultas. You got to listen to the show. Oh, my gosh, it was so good. Anyway, so what happens is that I've got the piece of structured shungite in my hand, and I'm saying to the nugget, I said, please, you know, Give me some way of explaining what you do. I'm trying to, you know, guide somebody, tell me something, right? And all of a sudden, this woman on the radio doing a live show with Jan Moore says, it's laser energy that goes through the entire frequencies. It's like the Reiki energy. And I was like, what? I'd never have it come over the radio like that, man. I jumped up. I wrote it down. That's what I just read you. You know? So, and that's why I don't particularly have an affinity for it. I don't have an affinity for Reiki. I don't know. I mean, most of my friends have Reiki things, you know, but I'm just not interested in it. And so I think that this particular frequency may be for Reiki masters. But that was so weird because of the way that I asked it and she answered it. I mean, why would she say that laser energy that goes through the entire frequency spectrum? It's like Reiki. I don't even know what she was talking about.
It's because our listeners out there in the cosmos are hearing us and giving us answers.
Oh, it's so vast, the connection that we have right now.
Yes.
I mean, you know it, you're feeling it, right? It's like we can feel the people now and in the future.
Yeah.
It's a calming kind of feeling. It's a feeling of unity. It's a feeling of joy.
Yes.
You know, it's like...
It tickles me.
Yeah, it's sort of like the tickle effect.
I just want to sit and laugh.
Yeah. And it's very special. So I deeply appreciate what's happening. You know, I mean, we're here and we're doing this, and hey, I'm even producing it. But none of it's working without the audience.
Right.
You know, and okay, we are affecting the cosmic consciousness by doing our shows. When we schedule with anybody, you schedule to have a conversation with your best friend, and you get into the esoteric, metaphysical reality, looking at all of this, it goes into the thought form that is the thought form of humanity. It's energy. It's like you're feeding a computer system, only it's a bioelectromagnetic system that is also cosmic. So we do that. But then that information feeds down to everybody's subconscious because you're in it. You know, you add to it, but you also get information from it. And the information that you are choosing to look at is our information when you come here and listen to us. And so that feeds more, and it goes, I mean, that's why it feels so much more empowering, I think. Yeah. Not personally empowering, although that's there, an empowering of the human experience. You know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
You don't seem convinced.
No, I am. I was typing to Aquarius. He's healing and getting back into the groove thing, so I said I'm glad. I can listen to you and talk to him, too.
Well, yeah, but I asked you a question, and you couldn't seem to answer it.
Well, I do understand what you're saying, but I would have no words to explain it to people.
I have so much fun with you. Oh,
I am finding myself very short on words, which is another thing. Because like you say, you want to finish your friend's sentences and you just want to hurry them through what they're saying because you want to get to the next thing. Okay, so I feel that way too, but yet I know I have to be patient and let them finish their own sentences. But yeah, I'm feeling that way even with happenings, things that are happening. Okay, I'm at the store, I'm doing my shopping. I want it to be done. I already have in my head what I need. I want to be through the checkout lane and I want it to be done. So I get to the damn checkout lane today and the card won't work. I sat there and I got really frustrated at first and I thought, what the hell? But I didn't use that word. I used the F word. Why am I having so many technical issues? And so rather than use that little chippy thing, I had to use it three times and be denied it because there's something wrong with the damn chip. And then I could swipe my card and use it. And I thought, why is there this frickin' process? I have to swipe the card three times. I mean, not swipe. Chip it three times. And then I can swipe it. What is with technology that it's trying to slow me down and stop me from doing things? What?
I'm thinking it's just spirit training you.
Or what? Training me what?
Of what is possible, what they can do. So why don't you turn it around and next time you use your credit card, okay? Mm-hmm. You say, instead of you taking it out of my bank, I want you to put that much money in my bank. Take it to the next level. Well, hey, listen, try it, man. Maybe they're training us for other powers, you know, a little bit at a time.
But while I'm doing this, I have already been sitting in the car for 10 minutes, in my mind. So it's not just words that I'm hearing ahead of what they're being said. I feel like I am ahead of myself. I seem to be holding myself back sometimes.
Well, I think it's part of the process. When you were talking in terms of you know, just letting the process do its slow unraveling, you know?
Uh-huh.
It's the same thing with what's happening, you know, in the 3D world of politics and geopolitics and the cabal and all that.
It's dragging on forever.
Well, it seems like that to us. However, mm-hmm. it's got to play out, you know? And so when we started 2018, we were told, I said that this was the year we were waiting for. Remember?
Uh-huh.
And Dave said, you'll see things that you can't even believe happen.
Yeah.
And I can honestly say I have seen things I wouldn't have thought were possible.
Was that the beginning of this year?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes. One of those things is, of course, the fact that we've been saying for this, well, before that, well, not actually, we all started in 2018 when the indictments, the sealed indictments started showing up. And we all got excited because, oh my gosh, they're actually doing something concrete.
Yeah.
You know, and they kept growing. And it wasn't like this was on, you know, Before It's News website. This was on a government website of the Attorney General of the United States. The federal system saying, oh, we've got 5 sealed indictments in this county and 5 over here and 10 over here. And it's their official U.S. government website that's saying this. And they kept growing and growing. And last I heard, it was over 55,000, right?
Yeah, it's over that, yeah.
And so you get, you know, and then this year, along with that story starting to unravel on an official government website, the president starts to, in various ways, get other things done. Like he got a huge amount of funds to essentially build out Guantanamo Bay, the prison system, so it hold more people.
Mm-hmm.
He got it passed so that military tribunals could try civilians and civilian lawyers could be participants in a military tribunal, which is very critical because if you're going to go and arrest bad guys, you don't want to put the bad guys in a court system that they own. And that
right.
by the technicality of the law, can't even try them.
Right.
Because it's admiralty law or military law versus common law. And that admiralty law is really financial law. It has nothing to do with treason. Now, so if you're actually going to try people for treason, the court system would be the military court system. So all of a sudden, now you're saying civilians can be lawyers in it and, you know, and all of this, and it's like positioning to do something that's never been done before. So this story has been unraveling, you know, I mean, yeah, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. It doesn't seem to happen at all. I mean, the sealed indictments just keeps getting more and more. And then all of a sudden, you're getting these attacks against pedophilias because the president of the United States has an executive action saying, an executive order saying that he is going to go after the people that he considers have been committing crimes against humanity. And they lock up the financial accounts of people that are without doubt within those sealed indictments. So now you've got the people that are the guilty ones without financial funds under sealed indictments, and they don't even know if their names are there or what the charges are. Now, what is a sealed indictment? what they do is they present their case to a jury, a grand jury. And the grand jury makes a determination, is there enough evidence to actually convict? Okay, and then they seal it because they don't want the person to know because they're still investigating it. But you already have had 55,000 times a jury of peers looking at the evidence against these people and saying there's enough evidence to convict. That's mind-bending. And I'm not going to get into how that was done, the maturations of getting all these grand juries together and making sure they were clean and protected. And, you know, I mean, what's going on behind the scenes is amazing. But right now, the thing that just absolutely gave me the, oh, they're doing it. The last sort of piece in that puzzle that says, oh no, we're on the way, we're committed, this is a go situation, was the fact that they took a military police Army Reserve unit of 100 people and sent them to Guantanamo Bay for 400 days.
Yes, yes.
That is unheard of. For a reserve unit to be deployed for that amount of time, unless it's a war situation, that you're on that kind of position, you know, because mm-hmm. these people, they have jobs. They're civilians.
Yeah, they do.
They're civilians, and you're yanking them out of their homes and in their jobs. Do you think those jobs will be the same when they get back? This is a big step for the reserves to do.
Yeah.
And they're going to Guantanamo Bay? Now, that's 100 MPs. I don't know what the ratio is of a guard for a prisoner, but it's certainly not 1-to-1. Let's assume it's 3-to-1. You know? So you've got 3 times 100... You know, you got 300 people that are going to suddenly be put in Guantanamo Bay. Well, what if it's 10 per guard? You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
This is big. And these boys and girls are on their way. They're there now in Guantanamo Bay.
Well, I checked out on Q last night, December 7th at 12:47:50, he says, "Scot free equals the initials. Where we go one, we go all." And I don't know what he's doing this QO equals Q plus, but it says at one point, do they wake up? Q. But where's this big one that I really wanted to read? Ah, here it is. December 7, 12:40. 01. Operators are, in all capitals, he says, active. And he signs it Q. Operators are active. So that also tells us they aren't just farting around anymore. Operators are active. And he also says it yesterday, 12:37:58. That was a couple of minutes before this operators are active. He says, operators on standby. Q plus Q to the zero power, maybe is what, I don't know what that means. So, yeah, I can see where what you're saying, it made it more live, more real to me when I remembered, yes, because, Q said operators are active, all caps, active.
Could you read the one he said before that?
The operators on standby?
Yeah.
That's it. And he signs it Q plus, and then next to that is Q with a zero, like it would be in the power position. I don't know what that zero power position means.
Like two to the, and you put
seventh power. Two,
right.
Yeah.
That type of thing?
Yeah.
Okay, my interpretation of it is that the first message was, you know, operation is going, okay? Get, you know, operation, the full operation, because if you're doing, you know, Q to the zero like that, uh-huh. you know, to the zero point, that uh-huh. means this is a full commitment. Okay, and then he says, operators are active. That means
all caps.
Okay, so I wonder who disappeared overnight.
I do too.
They picked him up. I mean,
I
would think,
I haven't watched the news at all today, so I don't know.
Well, it wouldn't get on. Oh no, they wouldn't put this on the news. You won't.
I only watch OAN and Fox. They seem to tell the truth. The other ones are just so unbelievably fake, what they do say, and they don't say what is really happening. You won't see what's on OAN or Fox because the fake news won't report it. So that's why, that was my explanation why I watched those two.
Now, the other thing that happened was that this was a Democrat from Connecticut who has demanded that the guy who's the head of the Federal Communications Commission, the commissioner, whoever's in it now, that he provide proof that 5G is safe.
Oh, yeah, I loved that when I saw that, yeah.
Right. Now, that the timing of it and the fact that it was a Democrat, now, that he gives a lot of reasons for it, you know, my constituents are concerned, and you know, you're doing all this illegal stuff, like taking property rights and governmental rights from the states, the towns, the people. So, but when I was like pondering it, now remember, when I ponder stuff like this, I've got the intelligent strategic mind, the 3D thing that clicks in. But so sometimes I don't trust what I get as a spiritual message as much as, well, this looks like, you know? Uh-huh. And this looks like to me is that the fact it was a Democrat, the fact of the timing, I found interesting, because right now what people are looking at and harping on is that if Trump doesn't, and some of the people that I highly respect, if Trump doesn't get this stuff done before the Congress turns over to the new Congress that now has more Democrats than Republicans.
Yes.
Okay. Then it's going to be impossible, impossible to win, right?
Yes.
Well, what I think has actually happened, and this is also, you know, when I saw this, I got the warning bells, you know, and it was like there was actually a large number. I can't tell you exactly how many, but it seemed to me a large number. Remember, I used to watch politics continually, but it was a large number of seats for Congress during the last midterm election that were not really contested by Republicans. So the Democrats walked in with a lot of, let's say, an above average number of uncontested or very weakly contested races. And I'm going like, why would they have done that? And I'm going, oh my God. These people that are coming in this new house, you know, the ones that the Democrats are all, yay, we won, right? They're plants. They've been with the Democratic Party saying, yes, I'm your baby. I'll do whatever you want. But they're not who they think they are. All those contested things, they didn't contest them because they were part of the White Hats. That's what I'm hoping.
I hope so, too.
But it makes for a great story.
It does.
And
I like that story.
I write fiction. I also write fact. Sometimes the two blur, you know.
I hear you. I feel you.
So it's an exciting time that we're
living. It really is. I wake up every morning and I think, should I turn it on now or wait? Because I get myself so excited about what's going to happen. And then if something doesn't happen, I get, oh, why didn't anything happen? And then I think, well, maybe it happened behind the scenes. And I get myself all excited again. I put myself through this emotional roller coaster.
Are you talking about Oak Island?
No, I was talking about what's coming up in politics. But yeah, Oak Island's that way. No, Oak Island, I just get freaking excited about Oak Island. I don't get downhearted about it at all because I think they've already discovered what they're going to discover. We just have to wait till the end of the season.
Exactly.
And yeah, I'm enjoying the ride.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just, it's fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
This week it's going to be, they're going to close off the, what do they call it? The swamp, not the swamp, the...
Smith Cove?
Smith Cove.
Yes, yeah.
So we'll see that happen. And that's where when they find that structure.
Yeah.
You know, because we know that they find the structure because they keep showing you every once in a while these primos of what's coming. And there's this structure that looks like it's right there at Smith Cove. And I think when they did a dig of that with, I never remember his name, Bricken? What's the one?
Oh, Burkhauser?
Burkhauser, whatever the name is. The father there. He dug in Smith Cove.
Oh, the father, Dan.
Dan Berkowitz.
Yeah.
He found some kind of a structure there before the, you know, dam that he had built collapsed and he lost it. And it seems like that's what they're finding there.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just one of the most fascinating stories.
Oh, I've been enjoying every minute of it.
It's so much fun.
It is. My kids think I'm crazy. I get so excited about it. I don't care. I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, well, I love the fact that you and I both got into it, you know? And mm-hmm. Christia.
Oh, yeah. Now she didn't seem to be into it right away, but then I guess her husband got into it, which helped her to get into it.
Yes, he was watching it, and she was just sort of listening to it. But then she got the bug.
Mm-hmm. It's hard not to when you watch a couple episodes.
Exactly. Well, we've watched years now. I mean, we've invested a lot of time in the story and the people.
Yes, yes. And I'm really enjoying that Rick seems to be so much better this year.
Yeah, 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 yeah. But I don't know. It's such a weird thing. Because now they can see underneath, and they still can't hit it. It's like if you want to talk about interference.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, yeah. Okay, let's look at it from the standpoint of metaphysics. They've got this treasure that's below them on an island, and it's below them at least 200 feet. Now, understand what 200 feet is. 200 feet is 10 divided into 200. It's 20 stories. Because a story is 10 feet. You know I'm not good at math, so check me on it, Dolly.
Are you kidding?
I just was going to say, oh, no, wrong person.
Yeah, really?
But it's 20 stories deep. They're digging down really, really far.
Yeah, that I understand, yes.
You know, and at the bottom of this is treasure. They know there's treasure down there because they've already gotten pieces of it. It's like, they, you know, here's a little nibble. Come further, boys, you know?
Yes.
So they go and they get their big technologically, we're going to see the down. We're going to look down there. We're going to find you before we even put another drill hole in. Oh, there you are. We got you now. And they drill down and miss again?
Yes.
What? So now they've moved over a little bit. You know?
Uh-huh.
And they're going to dig again. You know, but it's like, this is 200 years of the same story. I'm sorry, it's an amazing technological feat, but the amount of apparent, obvious interference in a metaphysical energy way says, what the hell is down there that they don't want seen?
Right. It hasn't been the right time for it to be exposed.
That's what I think.
I'm thinking maybe now is the right time for it to be exposed. With everything else going on in the world, our world is changing by the minute in the happenings in our world. If you compare us today to where we were 2 years ago, it is incredibly, incredibly different. And so I'm thinking now we've jumped some things that we needed to jump and gone farther than we've gone and where we really need to be in order to have things like Oak Island shown to us. Maybe we've finally gotten to the place where they think we're mature enough to be able to accept certain parts.
Well, if it is the treasure that the Knight Templars did, and they had actually the technical ability to probably pull it off, and they had been digging in the Jerusalem, what do they call it, the Jerusalem Mount? What is it?
Oh,
Temple of Jerusalem. They'd been digging underneath the Temple of Jerusalem.
Solomon's Temple, is that what you're trying to think of?
It was Solomon's Temple, but it's the Jewish temple that, you know, underneath that temple.
Oh, yes.
There's an entire, that mirrors what's on Oak Island. But, and the Templars were known to have done this. This is historical fact, accepted historical fact. Uh-huh. If they got the treasure of the Jewish people buried there, protected there, and, I mean, I make the case, I talk about it in the first book I wrote, in the John Kennedy book, about the connection between what the Templars found and Christianity. That the Templars found something that would essentially discount the Vatican's version of Christianity. It was the true version of Christianity. Not what the Vatican was saying. And that's why the Templars became so powerful.
That's why they got killed.
And that's why they got killed. Yes.
Yes.
So, but they've got this treasure, including probably the Ark of the Covenant. So you got historical documents in there that would take down the Vatican, change it. They've got historical documents in there that will tell you real history, change everything. And they may have the Ark of the Covenant. And it's buried underneath, you know, all of this ground, 20 stories below them. The concept that it was done, the concept of what could be there, all of this is not me and Dolly talking about it. This is not a fictional thing. We've watched these people struggle for this thing for the last 8 years. I think they've been doing it for 11, but I think the show is in its 8th season.
Yeah. Did you see that they're going to show it, because I think I saw it in a preview, a cavern where they have found more bodies or bones?
Oh, no, I didn't see that. Wow.
They were thinking it's slave...
Did you ever hear where the curse of the seven deaths had required? Do you have any history of that? Where that came from?
No. And I keep thinking, well, how... Really, these people who have been working on it have passed away, like Fred Nolan and that poor little 16-year-old boy. What's his name's son? The partner, Craig's son.
Craig, yeah.
Yeah, and why don't they count those?
Well, I wondered that, too, and I think it's because they weren't associated with dying in the you know, all the rest of them had died on site.
Well, Fred Nolan kind of died on site. He lived
well,
on
I agree
the
with
island.
You. I agree with you. They've got their, they've got eight, not seven. You got plenty of, you know. But where
I
did that story come
met
from?
It. Yeah, really. Where did it come from?
I think we need to Google it.
Okay.
Oh. Everybody Google, what, how did the seven have to die in Oak Island before the treasures found, you know, curse start? Does anybody know? I'd love to know who made that one up.
I would too.
But I mean,
but I don't, go
even,
ahead.
Even Franklin Delano Roosevelt was there at Oak Island digging.
Yeah. Famous people have been there digging.
Yeah. And I think that if the Ark of the Covenant is there, that's going to be a very interesting thing, because there's supposedly essentially three arcs, although it could be five arcs, and we know that there's the Ark of the Covenant that might be there. We know for a fact that the Ark of Gabriel was discovered under Mecca, in Mecca under the Kaaba underground system, and now it's in Antarctica. Supposedly there's, like I say, another one somewhere in D.C. But if all of these things, it's like the crystal skulls, you know, they say that when all of the, I don't know, is there 12 of them or 7 of them or something, when they all come together,
yeah.
You know, and I'm wondering that, you know, is this a doomsday weapon?
Yeah.
Or is it a weapon of ascension? I mean, not a weapon of ascension, but a tool of ascension.
Tool, yeah.
Yeah. Who knows? It's 8 o'clock, and I'm going to say goodnight because it's 8
already.
O'clock. Already. It was fun.
Yeah, it was. Okay. Loved talking with you all and being with you all. Thank you for being with us, and we'll talk with you next week. I'll talk with you Tuesday. Is it Tuesday?
No, Wednesday. You're on Wednesday.
Wednesday.
Yes. I'm on Tuesday.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Oh, this Tuesday we're going to have on the Say What Show at noon on Tuesday, Kevin Smith is coming. And Kevin is actually, he's been on before, but he's actually made a mirror using S4 shungite powder.
Really?
Yes.
She doesn't mean Say What, she means the shungite show.
The shungite show
on Tuesday
yes,
at
on
noon.
Tuesday at
noon.
Thank you. Yes.
Wow.
And if you go to Cosmic Reality Facebook group, he's posted a little video about it. But, Dolly, I turned that thing on. 20 seconds later, I was reeling. I had to turn it off. I tried it again, and I had the same reaction to it. It's such a powerful energy that it's coming right off the Facebook video. So it's going to be intriguing to talk to him. He's somebody that goes around and participates in Renaissance fairs.
Uh-huh.
Oh, he's really sweet and he's really nice. And
I love Renaissance fairs.
Yeah. You need to hear whatever he has to say. He's going to be fun. And you know what else? He does all this traveling around, and he has a cat that travels with him.
Aww.
I mean, you got to love a guy that travels with his cat to Renaissance
That's
fairs
right.
and has a shungite mirror. Ah, come on. Thanks, everybody. We certainly appreciate you. Be safe, be blessed, and Dolly?
Bye-bye.
Say What? Say What Radio Show. With no agenda. It's always a surprise. But if we're not having fun, we're doing something wrong.